Hi, Dave Emmer here. Side 2 of For the Record program number 778, the OUNB file, part 2. This is being recorded on March 2nd of the year 2014. We are going to continue with our examination of the historical background and political nature of the forces which, in their incorporation into the opposition in the Ukraine, directly precipitated the crisis now engulfing the Ukraine and perhaps, who knows, the rest of the world as well. We concluded side two by taking a look at the incorporation of the OUNB into the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, and it continued to function as a separate, with all of its Nazi nature, within the Republican Party and in concert with other groups of a similar nature. We noted in side one that Laszlo Pastor, a veteran of the Hungarian Arrow Cross organization that was the fascist party along with the Third Reich, was the head of the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization, literally a Nazi wing of the Republican Party with links with its roots directly in the Third Reich. What we're going to look at now, and we are going to be excerpting a portion of AFA program number 36, the destabilization of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. This is from March of 1991. We're going back more than 20 years into our archives once again. This is excerpted from an article from Covert Action, the bulletin number 35. An article called The Free Congress Foundation Goes East by Lou Wolf and Russ Ballant. And we're going to look at not only the presence and functioning of the OUNB in conjunction with the IRG group. That was the contact point between the Free Congress Foundation and IRG was Boris Yeltsin's group. We're going to take a look at the role of the OUNB and the rest of the Republican Nazis in the destabilization of the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe.
It's called The Free Congress Foundation Goes East, once again, co-authored by Russ Ballant and Lewis Wolfe. It reads in part as follows. With the rapid pace of political change sweeping Eastern Europe and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, many opportunities have emerged for Western interests to intervene in the politics of that region. In some cases, such a vacuum has been created that virtual strangers to the area several years ago are now able to actively participate in changing those societies from within. These interventions are not only being practiced by mainstream organizations. The involvement of the United States far right brings with it the potential revival of fascist organizations in the East. One U.S. group, the Free Congress Foundation, has been playing a role in Eastern European and Soviet politics and has ties to Boris Yeltsin and the Interregional Deputies Group, or IRG, in the USSR. Now, once again, this is the most important single element in this article on the subject of it, the Free Congress Foundation, and we should bear in mind for future discussion that they are tied directly to Boris Yeltsin, as we shall see. Continuing here with Ballant and Wolf's article, the Free Congress Foundation, or FCF, was founded in 1974 by Paul Weyrich, W-E-Y-R-I-C-H, as the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. Weyrich, who had started the Heritage Foundation the year before, was heavily funded by the Coors family for both organizations. I would interrupt that Paul Weyrich is one of the major strategic planners and one of the major figures in the so-called New Right. Why I call it so-called, I will outline here later. He is one of the individuals credited with the political action committees and direct mail techniques which helped boost Ronald Reagan and later George Bush into their present situations, although as I've looked at in these archive shows, the stage was set for the Reagan and Bush ascendancy by political assassination, not Paul Weyrich. Continuing here, but it should be noted that in addition to the survival, the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress, now the Free Congress Foundation, Weyrich founded the Heritage Foundation, an absolutely pivotal right-wing think tank, which, again, is very close to both the Reagan and Bush administrations. Continuing here, and bear in mind that this organization, as we shall see, is heavily involved in the Soviet Union, specifically with elements around Boris Yeltsin. Continuing with the article, Weyrich has kept one foot in the right wing of the Republican Party while dallying with the racist right and the extreme Christian right. In 1976, for instance, he and a handful of other new rightists, William Rusher, Morton Blackwell, and Richard Viguerie, attempted to take over the segregationist American Independent Party, or AIP, formed by George Wallace in 1968. The AIP was an amalgam of Ku Klux Klan and John Birch Society elements. In 1982, Weyrich published an essay in which he stated, quote, "Culturally destructive government policies, racial hiring quotas, and busing come to mind as examples, are to the new right more immediately important in the realm of action since the damage they can do is enormous and practically irremediable," unquote. This apparent defense of, quote, white culture, unquote, is dangerously close to theories advocated by white supremacists today. FCF's direct involvement in Eastern Europe began about a year ago at the urging of one of its directors, Robert Krieble, K-R-I-E-B-L-E, a retired Connecticut businessman. His Krieble Foundation backed efforts in late 1989 to send Weyrich and four associates to Hungary and the Soviet Union, including Estonia, to help train right-wing leaders in ideological and electoral matters. I would interject here, Estonia is now one of the Baltic republics pushing for independence. Weyrich stated upon his return that his visit to Moscow was, quote, the most incredible experience of our lives, unquote. There, he worked with the IRG of the Supreme Soviet, a leadership body of the Communist Party. He says that they were unequivocally in favor of private property, a market economy, and the restoration of religion. The IRG was established by Andrei Sakharov, Boris Yeltsin, and others in the summer of 1989. By the end of that year, a training school had been established for candidates to put forward the IRG program. Their electoral success this year propelled Yeltsin to the leadership of the Russian Soviet Socialist Republic. He immediately began forging collaborative relationships with the deeply reactionary leaders of the Lithuanian Sąjūdis Party. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. Now recall, in the very first installment of this archive series, I analyzed another very important article. I read into the record another very important article dealing with Sąjūdis and the restoration of fascism in Lithuania, because Sąjūdis is inextricably linked with the history of Lithuanian fascism. And it's interesting to see Boris Yeltsin now hooking up with Sąjūdis, an ironic name perhaps. Instead of S-A-J-U-D-I-S, it should be spelled S-A capital J-U-D-A-S, because it looks like that's basically where they're at, Sąjūdis. And it should be noted here, as before we proceed into this particular article, that in the Sean Gervaisi article that I read into the record last week, the destabilization paradigm involves two basic elements. The first is external pressure, and I have spoken about that in the first two installments. The second is internal manipulation. And I'm going to reread a short section of the Sean Gervaisi article. Again, this is called the Full Court Press, The Destabilization of the Soviet Union by Sean Gervaisi. And a section of it reads, "The typical campaign of destabilization has involved two elements. The first is external pressure. The second is internal manipulation. The attacker is bent on creating disruption and turmoil in the target country, but that is only its first objective. The ultimate purpose is to produce political change, typically a change of government, a coup d'etat, or even a revolution. There can be no assurance, however, that disruption and turmoil will produce the desired political results. Therefore, in most cases, the attacking power also intervenes in the internal political process in the target country." And that brings us, again, to the article which I'm going to resume with, The Free Congress Foundation Goes East. We've looked at external pressure, including, in my opinion, the resuscitation of Star Wars and perhaps, the resuscitation of wider German military involvement. And we are now going to proceed with the Free Congress Foundation and its activities with IRG and Boris Yeltsin. And this is one of the vehicles that appears to be being used for internal political manipulation in the Soviet Union, the second of the two pincers described in the Sean Gervaisi destabilization paradigm. Continuing with this article, One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Now, by the way, I should read the last couple of sentences again. The IRG has also served as a source of right-wing pressure on Gorbachev to dismantle socialism and the Soviet Union itself. One of the key dangers in this agenda is the political vacuum it creates, allowing ultra-nationalist forces in a number of republics to increase their influence and possibly take power. Such nationalist and fascist elements are already evident in Lithuania and the Ukraine. In the latter republic, the pro-Nazi Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, has gained influence in several parties and has mobilized large demonstrations in honor OUN leaders who abetted Hitler's war on the Eastern Front. Similarly, several Sejudis deputies served in German-supported military units in 1944, and Sejudis has made declarations against ethnic Russians living in Lithuania. According to some reports, Poles have also been denigrated. It should also be noted that radical reformer, quote-unquote, Boris Yeltsin has dallied with Pomyat, P-A-M-Y-A-T, the foremost Russian fascist group to emerge in the last several years. Pomyat's virulent anti-Semitism compares to the crude propaganda of the early German Nazi Party in the 1920s. We will take a look at Pomyat later on in this installment. Continuing. The FCF is not entirely disconnected from the history of the OUN. The treasurer of the FCF board is George Washington University professor Charles Moser, M-O-S-E-R. Moser also serves on the editorial advisory board of the Ukrainian Quarterly, published by the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, a group dominated by the OUN. The Ukrainian Quarterly has praised military units of the German SS and otherwise justified the OUN alliance with the Third Reich, which reflects the fact that the OUN was politically and militarily allied with Hitler and the Nazi occupation of the Ukraine. The OUN, an international semi-secret cadre organization headquartered in Bavaria, has received financial assistance from the late Franz Josef Strauss, the rightist head of the Bavarian state. Strauss also had a working relationship with Weyrich.
That's again from AFA 36 from March of 1991, excerpting the article, The Freak Funk, Three Congress Foundation Goes East by Lou Wolf and Russ Ballant. Note that the Free Congress Foundation of Paul Weyrich had as its liberation director Laszlo Pastor, the same Hungarian fascist who headed up the Republican Ethnic Outreach Organization. And the IRG group was headed by Boris Yeltsin, who ultimately helped to dissolve the former Soviet Union. What we're going to do now is to excerpt For the Record program number 529. This was done in the fall of 2005. And we're going to take a look at we're going to take a look at a woman, I should say, named Ekaterina Chumachenko, later Ekaterina Yushchenko. She was one of the principal people of the top OUNB front organization in the United States. She went on to become Ronald Reagan's Deputy Director of Public Liaison, and following the collapse of the Soviet Union, she married Viktor Yushchenko, who came to power in the Ukraine through the so-called Orange Revolution. And note in the excerpt that we're about to listen to that the OUNB is a clandestine organization and has operated surreptitiously in order to infiltrate various political milieu, plural, including the GOP and the Reagan administration. So this again from For the Record program 529.
Well, we're going to begin noting again that the Orange Revolution has turned just a bit ripe in the Ukraine, with the firing and or resignation in protest of the entire Yushchenko cabinet over the extreme or alleged extreme corruption that has manifested itself. We're going to begin the actual reading portion of the broadcast with a Wall Street Journal editorial, which is an encomium to the Orange Revolution. This was from December 27th of the year 2004. It's called From America with Love, subtitled Ukraine's New First Lady Knows What Freedom Really Means. This reads in part, In the most peaceful revolution since South Africa ended its apartheid regime by electing Nelson Mandela president in 1994, Ukraine has just elected opposition leader Viktor Yushchenko president of the former Soviet satellite republic. The victory comes for the pro-Western leader after a dirty campaign that saw him poisoned and only after hundreds of thousands of demonstrators filled the streets to protest voter fraud. Quote, "We peacefully, beautifully, elegantly, and without any drops of blood changed Ukraine," unquote, Mr. Yushchenko told cheering supporters. What many Westerners do not realize, however, is when Mr. Yushchenko takes the seat of power, at his side will be a tough-minded, savvy, American-raised businesswoman. His wife, Katerina Chumachenko Yushchenko, is the daughter of Ukrainian immigrants who grew up steeped in the traditions of her ancestral homeland. And Ms. Yushchenko is described here as having grown up in Chicago and the daughter of Ukrainian parents who were, quote, forced, unquote, to Germany as slave laborers and then fled to the United States. Well, I don't know exactly what happened with the parents of Catherine Chumachenko Yushchenko, but the political milieu, the political environment of which she was not only part, but was a leading advocate and representative for, is indeed the old OUNB, ABN, Eastern and Central European fascist milieu, which was put together originally by Adolf Hitler and his Committee of Subjugated Nations, put together in 1943, a consortium of Central and Eastern European fascist groups that later renamed itself the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. This organization flowered in the United States under the auspices of the Crusade for Freedom, a program to literally import Nazis into the United States, where they became a critical element of the Republican Party under the stewardship of Alan Dulles, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and William Casey, not to mention the elder George Bush. Good discussion of that in a number of programs, including For the Record program 465. We're going to take a look now at a book called The Old Nazis, The New Right, and the Republican Party. This was authored by Russ Ballant, last name Bellant, put together in hardcover, published in hardcover, I should say, by the South End Press of Boston, copyright 1990. Now, we're going to be taking a look at the OUNB, a Ukrainian fascist group that worked with the Third Reich. We've seen this in many contexts, including the assassination of President Kennedy, because indeed the OUNB / ABN milieu was deeply involved in murdering President Kennedy. And we're going to take a look at the main OUNB front organization and its major point of interface with the Republican administrations of Ronald Reagan and the elder George Bush. That's a group called the UCCA, which stands for the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America. Turning now to Russ Ballant's discussion of the UCCA and the fascist / Nazi OUNB and ABN. One Ukrainian nationalist group was the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, OUN, which split into two organizations, a less militant wing led by Andrew Melnik and known as OUNM, and the extremist group of Stepan Bandera known as OUNB. The Nazis preferred the radical nationalist OUNB. During the German military occupation, the Ukraine witnessed terrible atrocities against Jews and other groups targeted by Nazi policies. The OUNB organized military units that participated in these atrocities. With the collapse of the Third Reich, many Ukrainian collaborationists fled their homeland. After the war, the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists Bandera, or OUNB, a clandestine group financed in part by German intelligence and led by Stetsko, accelerated its work in the West. A secret group, OUNB's tracks are difficult to follow. Quote, "You have to understand, we are an underground organization. We have spent years quietly penetrating positions of influence," explained an OUNB member who insisted on anonymity. The positions of influence under discussion were Reagan administration appointments. All of the OUNB's key administration contacts were through an organization called the Ukrainian Congress Committee of America, or UCCA, headquartered in New York City. So note the UCCA and its front for the OUNB. By the way, Stetsko is Yaroslav Stetsko, the head of the OUNB in America. Stefan Bandera, by the way, was assassinated in 1959, the same day that Lee Harvey Oswald emigrated to Switzerland. And his assassination, apparently performed by German intelligence, who were covetous and jealous of his connections with British intelligence, was used to generate disinformation that the KGB and the communists killed President Kennedy, and that was one of the elements in the cover-up. Now, keep in mind the UCCA, keep in mind the OUNB, keep in mind the ABN, a key component of the what became the World Anti-Communist League. We're going to take a look at how those elements functioned on behalf of the Third Reich, how they continued to function in the United States, and we're also going to take a look at the role played in this milieu by Catherine Chumachenko, now Katerina Chumachenko Yushchenko, the wife of Mr. Yushchenko in the Ukraine. Turning once again to Russ Balance, the old Nazis, the new right in the Republican Party. The ABN is the High Council for the expatriate nationalist groups that formed the police, military, and militia units that worked with Hitler during World War II. Some were organized as mobile killing teams that exterminated villages and sought to murder whole ethnic, racial, and cultural groups. These mobile killing teams are the forerunners of the modern death squad. That it is consistent, then, that the Latin American Anti-Communist Confederation, or CAL, for many years the Latin American branch of WACL, has a great affinity for the ABN and its members, according to several ABN members. CAL historically has served as an umbrella group for the regional death squads. A meeting of the youth sections of CAL and ABN in 1983 took place in Bodan Fedorok's Ukrainian Cultural Center in Warren, Michigan. The resulting 16-point resolution bore statements that might surprise some of their conservative U.S. supporters. Not only were the usual anti-communist sentiments expressed, but also anti-capitalist positions were taken. One point, for instance, called for, quote, rejection of all materialist doctrines which defile the human individual by treating people as egotistical, covetous, and selfish beings, unquote. The resolution called for a, quote, faith in revolutionary liberation nationalism, unquote, and again quoting, unbending opposition to collectivist slavery against communist and capitalist alienation of labor, unquote. By the way, this is, as Balant notes, this is classic National Socialist or Third Position Fascist ideology. It represents itself as revolutionary. In fact, it's reactionary in a fundamental way. It is not surprising to me, frankly, that a lot of so-called progressives get sucked in by this stuff. That has always been the case. Continuing with Balant's text, these formulations mirror the classic outlines of National Socialism, which simultaneously fought the communist and Western capitalist powers ideologically and militarily. The Third Way, rejecting East and West, is still a position taken by significant elements of the contemporary neo-Nazi movement. The Stetskos were not only leaders of OUN, but the multi-ethnic ABN as well. The July-August 1983 ABN bulletin carries several cover photos which show the Stetskos and other ABN leaders as White House guests in July of 1983, personally meeting with Reagan, George Bush, and Jean Kirkpatrick, parenthetically the last, the Reagan administration's ambassador to the United Nations. Continuing with Balant's text. After the Stetskos visited the White House, Yaroslav Stetsko's wife, Slava Stetsko, who lives in Munich, West Germany, called on the ABN to support Reagan's re-election. She carried that message to ABN chapters during 1984 as well. The Reagan campaign cooperated with ABN, including scheduling an appearance by Michael Sotiros, head of Ethnic Voters for Reagan-Bush Campaign 1984, as well as the Republican Heritage Group's council at the 1984 ABN conference in New York City. The goal of the ABN is to pressure the U.S. government toward a, quote, liberation, unquote, policy aimed against the USSR, with ABN leaders as the liberators. Although ABN members say they only need technical assistance from the West, they want the U.S. military to put them in power in Eastern Europe and the USSR. This is the formula they tried under German Nazi sponsorship. Their manipulations of the American political system are toward that end. The émigrés of the ABN still dream of one more chance to create a new order in Europe. They even got Michigan Republican Congressman Paul Henry to enter a statement into the Congressional Record in July of 1986, commending the, quote, independence, unquote, of the Ukraine under Stetsko in 1941. Parenthetically, that was not independence at all, but it was as a Nazi puppet state. Continuing. According to Henry, quote, a representative assembly of the most prominent Ukrainian leaders from all walks of life issued a proclamation of the restoration of Ukraine's independence. The proclamation received enthusiastic support of the Ukrainian people. Henry referred to the, quote, freedom fighters, unquote, of the Organization of Ukrainian Nationalists, or OUN, led by Stepan Bandera. When questioned about his praise for a document which included the line, quote, glory to the heroic German army and its Führer, Adolf Hitler, unquote, a spokesman for Henry said he'd, quote, not been aware of the fine print, unquote. Now, this is the milieu of Catherine Chumachenko Yushchenko, formerly Catherine Chumachenko. And listen to what she was. On July 20th, 1988, George Bush reaffirmed the ties between the Republican Party and the ABN by making a campaign stop at Bohdan Fedorov's Ukrainian Cultural Center in Warren, Michigan. Bush delivered a hardline foreign policy speech to those attending the annual Captive Nations banquet sponsored jointly by the Captive Nations Committee and the ABN. Sharing the dais with Fedorov and Bush was Catherine Chumachenko, formerly the director of the UCCA's Captive Nations Committee and currently the deputy director for public liaison at the White House. Ignatius M. Bolinsky, president of UCCA, had already been named honorary chair of Ukrainians for Bush, and Bohdan Fedorov named national vice chair of Ukrainians for Bush. Catherine Chumachenko Yushchenko, formerly Catherine Chumachenko, was the liaison between the OUNB/ABN/UCCA and the White House.
That begins before the record 529 from the fall of 2005. As we begin to analyze the present manifestation of these same political forces whose operations and activities we have been chronicling in the last two For the Record programs, we're going to take a look at the fact that Viktor Yushchenko, who came to power during the Orange Revolution and whose wife was the former Ekaterina Chumachenko, one of the principal people in the top OUNB front organization in the U.S., and Ronald Reagan's deputy director of presidential outreach or liaison. She became, again, First Lady of the Ukraine under Yushchenko before he was voted out of office with just 5% of the popular vote. Yushchenko named both Stepan Bandera, head of the OUNB, and Roman Shukievich, who led its military wing, including the Nightingale Einsatzgruppen that liquidated the ghetto in Lvov. He named them heroes of the Ukraine. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 778, the OUNB file part 2, being recorded on March 2nd of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.